Hey, how's it going? This is Braden with Noble Sports Guys. Today, I am privileged to have on the Noble Sports Guys podcast the Queen of the Trenches, Barbie. How you doing, Barbie?
I am fantastic. How are you?
Living the dream. I get to do something that I love, which is talk about football. So
Hey, if you enjoy what you do, you never work a day in your life, so you are very lucky.
I'm trying. This is kind of a little side hustle until I graduate college. So,
Oh, that's awesome. I'm going back to school too, actually.
awesome. What are you studying?
Pre-law, like a crazy
Oh,
person.
there's nothing wrong with that. I've taken a couple law classes. I was an accounting major before and switched to marketing. And with
Yeah,
accounting, you
I
had to take
did
business
it.
law.
International business and anthropology. So I'm kind of all over the place, which is very on brand for me.
Well, that's awesome. At least you're well-rounded. Like I'm not as well-rounded. I studied accounting and marketing. It's just that every time I tried to venture into something else, I struggled. So, but
Yeah, but
business, I get.
yeah, well, you know what you're good at, and numbers don't lie, so.
That's true. And it's straightforward and simple. Like econ, I could
Exactly.
never get into that because A plus B should equal C, not D, E, F, G, or whatever. That's
Right.
econ in a nutshell.
Yeah.
All right. So, thank you for coming on my podcast. I really appreciate it. And
Well,
it's,
thank you so much for having me. It's an absolute honor.
oh, and it's an honor. You're my first all pro interview because you were recently just
Whoa.
named all pro. And it's even more special because you play for Vegas, being that
Yes,
I'm
I
from
do.
Vegas. And we enjoyed Penny and I and my wife. We all enjoyed going to your game. I think it was in April when we went, so it was a lot of fun.
We absolutely love that your whole family supports because you don't have any kind of personal ties to the team. So to have like just a local regular supporter and fan means so much because you're not, for lack of better words, obligated to come. Like you're not attached. You're there because you genuinely enjoy the sport and you support what we as women are doing. So we are really, really lucky to have you in our corner.
Yeah, I'm trying because like I've told a lot of people, my driving force is I'm married to my wife and I am
Yeah.
outnumbered. I'm the only guy in the house. I have a cute little
I
two-year-old.
yeah, I get that. I'm the opposite with the boys.
Awesome. Yeah, and I've noticed that she's my mini me. Like my wife is like, I went through all the struggles to just have you turn out to looking like your dad and acting like your dad. So I'm like, okay, I guess I'd make a cute girl then if I were a girl. So
That's the takeaway.
I guess. But I just noticed how women were treated in sports in general. And recently with the WNBA, or not the WNBA, the Women's March
The
Madness,
soccer.
how they,
Oh,
the
yes,
March
the
Madness
college
with the weight
tournament. That was
rooms
insane.
and just stuff like that. And it's ridiculous. And I had every opportunity to grow and progress in sports, and I want the same opportunity for Penelope. And you guys are providing the way. It's not easy. I know it's just
Not at
talking to
all.
all the athletes that I've talked to. It's rough, but you guys are taking one for the team essentially, so that these little girls like my daughter have the opportunity to grow and have
And
more of an opportunity.
it's not even a choice. Like it's something that just happens naturally. Like it's something we always say is like, why not us? Why not? There's no reason for there to be such a distinction. If the talent is there, it should be recognized. And there shouldn't be any reason why we're considered less than because of our gender. We're trying to put out, a quality product, for lack of better words, and we're asking for mere crumbs in comparison to what men who, frankly, in a lot of cases, aren't as talented as we are. And I'm not speaking for myself. I'm speaking for all the women that have played for what, the past 20 or so years. And we still meet people across the country that don't even know that the sport itself exists, not even us as a team. So it's kind of your, when you realize that you're in love with playing football, you're automatically an advocate for all women. because it just doesn't make sense to do what we do and to put as much passion and time into it and to not be recognized for it. So at the very least, you know, you want the respect. And, you know, sometimes you can't just ask for the respect. You got to get out there and you got to earn it. And so that's what we do every day, whether it's on or off season. We go in and, you know, we earn our place.
Yeah. And you guys are doing an excellent job. And I'll be honest with you. I had no idea it existed until Penny was scrolling through TikTok and came across Lois Cook. I don't know if you're familiar with her.
Oh, nice.
She came across her TikTok, and that's kind of what started this whole process for me. Is like, I want to do something more than just talk about what's going on in the NFL. That kind of gets bored.
Right. Right.
And I started reaching out to NFL players, and for a lack of a better word, they're not the nicest guys sometimes. They either were really rude about it or they didn't mm-hmm. read it at all, which I right. understand. They're super busy. So I'm like, you know what? I know. Maybe I'll shoot my shot with Lois. I sent a message to her and she's like, yeah, absolutely. She's like, I'm honored that you would think of me. I'm like, I'm absolutely.
Seriously, like it's amazing just to be recognized, which is insane to say that you just want to be seen, but it means so much to have, I keep reiterating something that's someone that's not personally tied to us, see us for what we're doing and recognize the potential that it has and the potential that each league has, each team has, each woman has. Like, we're literally fighting in more ways than one to be acknowledged and to share our message and to inspire future generations. Like, it's not even a question as to whether or not, you know, we want to be role models. Like, when you get into this sport, something that's so unprecedented, especially for our gender, you have the weight of the world on your shoulders to represent, so that way more opportunities keep coming. I know plenty of women that played literally starting 15 years ago and still play, and the, for lack of better words, little that we have right now, they're astounded by in comparison to the absolute nothing that they had when they first started. So we're making progress. It's slow. And any way we can speed that up, because, you know, we've earned it, we're going to keep going. So to have,
that's kind of why I studied marketing, is because I want to be able to help, because
right.
That's something I've been, I don't know, passionate about since I was a little kid. I always like trying to fight for the underdog, because I'm fairly big and people have always been intimidated by me, which when they really get to know me.
Oh, you are preaching to the choir.
I'm a teddy bear. If you compare my wife and I, my wife's 5'1", I'm 6'2". My mm-hmm. wife's the scary one. I'm the teddy bear. So. And I guess that's how it usually works. So I've always been an advocate for the underdog, so to speak.
Yeah.
And when I was talking to my wife about making the move for school, I was like, I want to do something. I know I want to go into sports marketing, but mm-hmm. I don't know if I necessarily want to go work for a men's team, because they right. already have a ton of people.
Right.
Why not go and try my foot at the WNFC or the WFA?
Yeah,
there's
absolutely.
So many different leagues, and you guys have, honestly, it's kind of cool to see even the growth with the WFA. I think they announced like 3 new teams this past week alone. And it's just interesting to see the ball is rolling. It's just not rolling fast enough, I think.
Yeah. So. Oh, the ball's been rolling. That's the thing. And so, like, you know, it's, you know, building and it's snowballing, but like you said, yeah, it's not rolling fast enough and we're picking up what we can, but there's not a lot to pick up just yet. So, you know, we're making as many connections and networking and putting ourselves out there. And, you know, we are in every sports team's DMs. We are, you know, we go to the Aces games regularly now. Like, we have Raquana Williams wearing our logo on a hat, you know, walking into the game, and it's a hat. It's literally just a hat with a little logo on it. But we lost our minds when we saw that, because representation matters.
It's true. I will tell you this too. It was actually kind of a cool experience. I work at Walmart. That's my day job. Mm-hmm. And I was sitting there. I work in the produce department, and there was this couple walking around. I looked at this guy's hat and I was like, no way. He had a Silver Star hat on. I was like,
heck yeah. What
a chance. I was like, and I went up and chatted up with him for a little bit. And I can't remember what his connection was to the team, but I was just like, that's awesome. Like, that's just, what are the chances that at my random Walmart, there'd be right. someone wearing your guys' logo on a hat? And eventually we want to get some gear. So it's just trying to save the money.
We're working on making merchandise for the team more accessible. And just having more of it in general. That's one of our projects. We have a, you know, I always say, what's an off season? Because there is no off season. Even if we're not playing a game, we're making moves to progress the team. We're making moves to progress our body. You know, we're still working out. We're still getting together and doing drills. We're still trying to make meetings and connections and progression happen 365.
Yeah, it's true. You never really have an off season. Sorry, my wife just got home, and my daughter is really excited. So I mean, she loves both parents, which makes me happy. But it's always the best feeling when I go pick her up from daycare. She gets super excited, and then when my wife gets home, she
and
gets
then
excited.
Yeah, mom gets to go home. Mom gets to come home and have that same kind of feeling from her too. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. So I want to ask you my favorite question. This has been, and this question actually comes from my mom. So okay. I'm sure like you guys know, family is like everything, especially with your guys' growth and whatnot. So mm-hmm. my mom is my biggest supporter for my podcast mm-hmm. other than like my wife. And her question that she loves hearing about all of you athletes is, what made you pursue this? Like, what was your why?
My why initially was myself. I found out about the team on a Tuesday. I went to the first practice on a Thursday and I never left. I was in a place in my life, that was kind of a 180 from where I am now. I wasn't healthy mentally, wasn't healthy physically. I wasn't happy, and I didn't have anything for myself outside of who I was to and for other people. And so when I've played sports, you know, for the better part of my entire life, you know, off and on every now and again, but I've always been an athlete, and I always, you know, being a bigger person, there aren't as many avenues for you. Being a bigger woman, there's even less. And so for a really long time, I saw my natural size as a detriment to whatever I wanted to do physically. I didn't have even the notion that I could push myself. I just kind of became complacent in almost every aspect of my life. And then I found football, and it was not only something that was just for me, but it was also, for lack of better words, a way to get out the aggression that I had built up. It was an avenue for socialization, you know, the fellowship that comes with it. It, you know, got me in better shape. It just became something that not necessarily solved all of my problems, but it addressed what I felt. It addressed a lot of what I felt were negatives in my life at that time. And it was completely unexpected how quickly it started to heal me. Like I said, I didn't have anything for myself outside of my identity towards other people. So, you know, I'm not this person's partner, this person's parent, this person's employee. I was a football player just for me. So that's how it started. It started as something that my soul needed. and it's turned into something much more.
That's awesome. And you kind of touched on it a little bit, mental health, and like that's a huge factor that a lot of people seem to, that's another notion that I'm trying to help end, is that you can't talk about mental health because there's a negative stigma towards it, whether it's mostly, I'm sure it goes for both genders, but especially being a man, being told to suck it up and stuff mm-hmm. like that. And mm-hmm. it's horrible. It's not, no one should ever have to suck up their feelings. So
right. I'm full of feelings all the time. Full of them. I cry for every emotion. I am, and I'm an open book too. So I very much believe in sharing experiences, so that way people don't feel alone. It is, you know, you can be surrounded by people and still feel lonely. And that is crazy to me. So I am always very open with everything I've gone through. I have a friend that I call my thunder buddy, and I will literally text her and be like, I'm having a panic attack. Can you remind me how to breathe? She's like, yeah, I got you. 4 in, 3 out, or whatever. And then it doesn't need to be further discussed. You know, I go to therapy regularly. I don't meditate because I don't have the patience for it. And the anxiety in my head is too loud for meditation, but I'm so human, it's insane. And I have flaws and I accept my flaws, and it's okay to be who you are and to not be perfect. There is not a single time since I've been an adult that I aspired to perfection, because I know it's unattainable.
Yeah.
It absolutely is. You just be the best version of yourself. And whatever that ends up looking like, if you can look at yourself in the mirror at the end of the day and you can like the person that you are, that's really important. Yeah, like all the surface stuff doesn't matter. You have to, and especially for me, even before an athlete, me as a mom, I can't be the best mom for them if I'm not healthy mentally. You just can't. As a parent, you have to be able to take care of yourself before you can take care of others. And when I started football, I wasn't doing that. I was just taking care of everyone else, going through the motions, and I didn't realize how run down I really was. And I took time for myself, and it was really hard to do that initially, to be selfish, because when you hear the word selfish, that's another thing that has a stigma to it, where you think that if it's selfish, it's wrong. And that's not the case. Sometimes being selfish is absolutely necessary.
You're absolutely correct. Sometimes you need to. Sometimes you need to take a me moment. And
yeah,
I mean, I've learned that. I've been married to my wife for 5 years now, and it's still a work in progress. There's some things, like my wife and I are polar opposite in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. Like my wife needs that like 15 minutes of her alone time.
Yeah.
Just so that she can be sane. And I've learned that. If I let her have that 15 minutes, the night runs a little bit more smoothly. Penelope and I bombard her right away, where I'm the exact opposite, that if I keep it bottled up, it's worse. I have to talk about it or I'm going to blow up. So,
right.
And I love how sports can be an outlet.
And absolutely.
It's awesome. My uncle-in-law, he also does a podcast. It's called the Sports Light Podcast. It's awesome. It's more catered to high school athletes.
Oh, okay, cool.
They recently had like a 4-time gold medalist Olympian on there, and a BYU soccer player. So they have a wide spectrum, and
yeah,
they talk a lot about mental health, because his brother, so my other uncle-in-law, is actually a doctor in psychology. So it's just interesting hearing their aspects. And they actually interviewed Max Hall. Max Hall was a quarterback for the Cardinals back in the day. And this is before like concussion protocol and all that stuff. And he didn't realize how bad
concussions
and mental health went together.
Yes.
Until he was robbing a Best Buy in Arizona higher than a kite, I think on meth or something like that.
Oh, and my goodness.
He kind of talked about his journey back from being that person to now. And I think sports can do a whole bunch of good, and they can also do some damage too if we're not careful. But in your case, I think it was extremely helpful. And I love hearing, like, I call them origin stories, because essentially that's what it is. You guys all have your unique stories, your unique journeys to playing professional women's football. Mm-hmm. Like, no two journeys are alike. I think it's awesome. So, and I don't know if people caught what I called you at the very beginning, but I said you were the queen of the trenches. And people that don't know football, like my mom, she tries to. What that means is essentially you play on the offense and defensive line. Sometimes it's not the most prettiest position, but
it is never.
It is the most crucial position. Without the lines, you can't get anywhere. So.
Not a single thing is going to happen without me using my body as a human wall for the entire game.
Yeah. And I mean, they tried to put me on the offensive line, but I was skinnier in high school. I was a twig, and it didn't work out very well. So they moved me to tight end, and that was a little bit better of a fit because I was lengthy.
If I had hands, I would be a tight end. I'm working on my hands. They were really atrocious. Now they were a solid F-. Now they're probably a D, but they're not great whatsoever. Like I am incredibly self-aware. So I'm slowly but surely starting to work on my hands because I am, you know, the starting defensive tackle and offensive guard. And I was very reluctant to be offensive guard. Very much so. I love defense. I love just bowling through. I love, you know, the sacks, the tackles, you know, the bum rushing, the mowing them down. Love all of that. And on offense, that's not as dynamic of a position. No one gets, like, we just had, you know, our all pro weekend that you've mentioned, and they're giving out awards for a defensive player, an offensive player, and this and that. And someone was like, can we get stats at least for offensive linemen? And all the offensive linemen are like, yeah. And they're like, no, you can't.
Well, you know, when I start coming to the games next season, I will keep track of how many pancakes you guys get.
Fantastic.
Well, at least it's something. I mean, like I said, it's not a pretty position, but it is such a crucial one. And you look at all of the great quarterbacks, they would be nothing without their offensive line. And I know Shauna's probably super grateful that you're watching her back. I mean, she can ball too. I was the one player.
Shawnee has actually, our first season, she only started being our quarterback, I think, after the second game. The quarterback we started with got injured, and so she stepped in. But she'll Iron Man if you let her too, because she loves defense just as much. And she would be a defensive end and turn around and immediately play quarterback. So she's freaking hilarious. But yeah, she's definitely come into her own as a quarterback, and she is more confident in herself and in her line. Like, the line changed up a little bit in between the seasons, obviously. But we're much more a cohesive unit. We were much more a cohesive unit this past season than our first season, which obviously showed in, our score or our, stats by the end of the game, our record, sorry. It obviously showed in our record by the end of the season. But yeah, she's definitely appreciative. Our running backs are always giving us props in the huddle, our fullbacks. So yeah, we definitely this past season realized that we all have a job to do, and we've all become more trusting in each other to do that job. And, you know, it worked.
Yeah. And it, for anyone who says your game's or women's sports in general is not exciting has clearly never been to a Las Vegas Silver Star game, because it was high energy. And yes, even though it wasn't a ton of people, you would have thought it was like a whole entire arena with how loud
they are. They are passionate with us because we have so few resources. There are so many of us that have our lives, you know, completely wrapped up in the team, and we're making the calls, and we're like I said, we're in all the team's DMs and we're sending emails, and you know, I am not a graphic designer whatsoever, but somehow I ended up making all the flyers this past season. I don't even know, but it had to be done. And that's the mentality we have. So much of our time gets spent concerning football, even when we're not on the field, that those around us know how passionate we are about it, how dedicated we are to it. And then it's infectious. It's kind of like a snowball effect. Yeah, absolutely. It ripples for sure. And it's really awesome to see. I never in a million years thought that I'd be playing a football game and my kids would be in the stand watching me, wearing my jersey, holding up signs with my number. Like, that's bananas and pajamas. So we've come so far, but we still have miles and miles, light years to go. So,
well, and I hope with this next season that you guys use me as much as you need. I've got a lot of hats on, but this is something that I told my wife. I was like, this is something I actually really want to do.
Walmart's just a job, and you tip it in our direction for sure.
Yeah, I would be happy to help you guys and get as much experience helping you guys, because it's a win-win for you guys and for myself getting that experience and whatnot. So I'm excited for what the next season holds. Just seeing how you guys played this past season and you guys making the playoffs.
Yeah. So. And we're even more fired up, because you can be the kind of team that has an 0-6 season and accept that that's always going to be your fate. And as soon as you accept that that's your fate, that becomes your reality. We knew we were better than 0-6. We knew the potential that we had. And there was absolutely no way in our minds that we were ever going to feel the way we felt June of 2019 after we lost our last game ever again. And we started working out October of 2019, and we were ready to go last year. COVID came, ended the season before it even started, and we never stopped practicing. So when it came time for that Oregon game this May, there was a small handful of us that had been preparing for that game for a year and a half.
And it showed. You guys won Team of the Year. You went from being 0-6 to 4-2, and
yeah,
literally a couple plays away from beating San Diego.
Oh, yeah. Listen, don't even get me started on that playoff game, because I cried after, once again, I'm a crier. I cried after two games. I cried after our first Oregon game, because that was the first game we had ever won as an official team in the WNFC. And then I cried after San Diego, not only because it represented the end of our season, but because it was so close and we fought so hard. And it's almost like when you get a paper graded and you get an 84 versus an 89, that 89 hurts more because you were so close to getting an A.
Yeah.
Things differently. And that's how it was. Like, it's 3 points. We were a field goal away from tying, you know, just one touchdown away from, you know, being able to play 2 days later against Utah. And boy, we were ready for Utah too. We study like no one's business. We are watching film, whether it's alone, together in groups, we're sending each other, hey, you know, go on film, look at play, blah, blah, blah. Did you notice they do this, that, and the other? We're absolutely consumed by our progression. And, you know, it obviously shows, and we're not going to stop. Like, getting Team of the Year was absolutely unexpected, and it was a tremendous honor. And not for nothing, I'm not really a cocky person, but we deserved it. Absolutely, we deserved Team of the Year. The grind that we had and the transitions that we made from our first season to this season, the growth that we showed, unmatched by any team. I don't care what anyone else has to say. We earned that. But we can't just keep getting Team of the Year every year. No, we need to be champions.
Yeah. Someone needs to beat Texas. That should be like the ultimate goal.
Listen, every time, and I love the friends that I've made across this league are, you know, those are lifetime bonds. And I love the Spartans that I've met. Dillo, the center, absolute beast. We cry together too, because we're both like sentimental biggies. And another D tackle, her name's Marissa, number 77. Love her. Her and her girlfriend, Amari, who does a lot of the graphics and kind of marketing and stuff for the WNFC and has been an absolute godsend to our team just on a team level without any obligation. She's just sweet as pie. But the people that I've made on that team, they're genuinely my friends, but I let them know as often as I can that I'm ready to whoop their butts as soon as we get the opportunity. Like, I tell them all the time, like, I'll see you championship weekend, and not as an all-star. Like, I will be there. I will be going up against you. So you need to be ready. Like, you think you're ready, but by the time we get to that championship, whatever team we go up against, they're not going to know what hit them.
Absolutely.
When we've gotten to that point, we're going to be, every single person on that roster is going to be such an absolute beast mentally and or physically that it's going to be one of those unstoppable forces versus immovable object type situations. It's going to be one of the best things you've ever seen when we make it to the championships, regardless of who we play. Because we started from 0-6, you know what I mean? 0-6.
Yeah, and you can only go up from there.
We can only go up. And we're like I said, there were some teams that could have been defeated by the 0-6, but we were fueled by it. And now that we have Team of the Year, that it's not like a, oh, okay, that's great. We got recognized and, you know, we did good. We like where we're at. Absolutely not. We don't like where we're at. Like, that, it's over. We want more. If there's room for more, we want more. And there's absolutely room for more.
I'll just let you know, when you guys win the championship, we're going to have that championship parade. We need to. Like, it needs to happen.
Heck yeah. I don't even care where it is. I don't care if anyone even comes to watch. I will be in the bed of someone's pickup truck yelling and screaming. By the time we get there, it will have been so much time and so much effort put into it that the celebration, we might as well have won the Super Bowl. I know that's how we're going to act regardless. When we win that championship, man, we're going to start charging for interviews. It's going to be insane. There's going to be so much that went in to us being champions that we're putting in motion now. And I'm telling you, it's inevitable. It's absolutely inevitable for us to be champions.
I had to correct my language. I follow a whole bunch of players, not just from Vegas, like from all the teams across. And every time I find a new one, I follow them just because why not? Like, it's fun seeing their stories. And someone posted something. She plays for Houston. I want to say Lacey's her name.
Oh, yeah, Lacey. Yeah.
She posted something that people always say the future is women's sports. And I've said that. And she's like, why can't it be the present? I'm like,
right.
You're absolutely right. So I'm like, I'm going to change my whole mindset. Let's talk about it in the present.
Yeah, that's dope.
And when I saw that, I was like, all right. Like, that's easy. That's an easy fix. I can fix that.
You don't think about that it kind of, even though you're recognizing it, it's kind of a way to push it off till tomorrow. Like, the future's always tomorrow. And, you know, tomorrow isn't promised. So why not do what you can to make your mark today? Yeah, I didn't see that post, but I love it.
It was awesome. I believe it was her one of her Instagram stories, because she was here in Vegas this past weekend. I think she was at like the Mandalay Bay or something. So it was kind of cool. But so there's a couple more questions for you. One of them is a brand new question. Okay. So like I said, my uncle-in-law, his name's Shad. He has a podcast, and when he was talking, so the Olympian that came on is a woman. She won 4 gold medals. Mm-hmm. And he asked her, why should people support women's sports? So if you were, just say you got in front of a whole audience, what would you say to people? Why should they support women's sports?
Because supporting women's sports is supporting women. And why wouldn't you want to support women? We're the backbone of everything. We're parents. We're inventors. We're rebels. We're politicians. We're everything. And athletes are just, you know, tiny facets of who we are as people. So supporting women athletes is supporting women. And, you know, nothing, like I said, nothing really runs without a woman. And, you know, men can be, I love my Big Fat Greek Wedding. And one of my favorite lines is when she says, you know, the man can be the head, but the woman is the neck, and she can turn the head any way she wants. And, you know, not for nothing, sometimes you don't even need the head. You could just be a real strong neck. So supporting women's sports is supporting women in general and supporting the advancement of humankind. Why not? Going back to what I said before, why not? Because representation matters, because it's the right thing to do, because there shouldn't even be.
Are you there?
Yeah.
Oh, perfect. Sorry, it cut out really quick. So I just want to make sure I didn't lose you.
Oh, yeah. No, you're good.
You're absolutely correct. And something my wife always likes to tell me is she can do everything that I can do, but 10 times better and in high heels. So
seriously, and my tall butt, I wear heels. So absolutely. I was just in a mosh pit in 6-inch platforms over the weekend. Like, we can do anything.
Oh, my wife would probably love to hear that. That's her scene where I'm like, big crowds. I'm like, no, I feel like,
no, yeah, we bowl. Just me and a couple of the teammates just went to emo night at Brooklyn Bowl on Saturday.
Oh, nice.
Yeah
that's more of her scene, where sports is mine, but like big crowds, I feel like I'm Ferdinand the Bull. So
yeah.
And it's fitting because my last name's Toro. So
right, exactly.
So the other question that I like to ask, what do you think can be done to support women's sports? Like, what can progress it further, in your opinion?
Women's sports can progress with visibility, with respect, and with confidence. There are a lot of, like I said before, a lot of women that in their respective fields absolutely could kick the butts of the men doing the exact same thing. Look at Sue Bird, for Pete's sakes. Like, she is everything. You can't, there's no one more decorated than her, but she makes, you know, a modicum of what, you know, the men in the NBA play, just because they're valued more. And can anyone really say why they're valued more? If it's a sport and they're winning and they're doing their job, then why is there such an unevenness in their sponsorship, in their salaries, in their visibility? And so it can start from the bottom up or the top up, but from the bottom up or the top down. But the main thing is that they just need to be recognized, or we just need to be recognized for what we do. it starts with just the support. Even if you don't actively do anything to help the progression, the visibility of sharing a post, telling a friend, asking a question, you know, making yourself more knowledgeable about the sport, the league, the player, that's the snowball effect. It's those tiny little notions that come together to create the platform for women to earn their, for women to accept the place that they've earned, to be given the place that they've earned. There are plenty of women that have, that are decorated, that are talented, that, you know, excel in every avenue in their field as possible. And then they just, people still don't know about them. Just like I said, I only started playing, I think I was 31. And the only reason I didn't start playing when I was in my 20s is because I didn't even know it existed. So the sheer visibility of just knowing that it is a product will help the product grow.
Absolutely.
So we just need to keep talking about it. We just need to keep knocking on doors, knocking down doors, busting through windows, busting through ceilings, whatever you got to do. But the passion can't be lost in us. And we just have to keep telling our stories. We have to keep going on podcasts. We have to keep, you know, wearing our merchandise at Walmart. Like, it's just the little things. And we have to continue to put out product on the field that makes sure that no one discounts us, because they can discount us without knowing. They can assume that a woman's football game is going to be A, B, and C. They won't really know until they come and check it out. So if they expect A, B, and C, we better give them X, Y, and Z so that they keep coming back and that they tell their friends. So there isn't really one way to progress it in every facet of what we do. We just have to be the best that we can be. We have to realize that our names, they may not mean something now, but we want them to mean something. So it's kind of like when you go into an interview and they say, dress for the job that you want. We have to act like we are already at the absolute top of our field. And it's, you know, field of dreams.
Yeah. It's the truth.
So yeah, we just have to keep grinding. We can't let up, because how is anyone going to believe in us if we don't believe in ourselves? So it starts with us, and then in every possible way, we just spread it to everyone else. And every little bit of support, recognition, sponsorships, you know, donations of time, money, resources, facilities, any little bit helps. And until it is kind of an automatic that you should be supporting us or women in sports, until that's a no-brainer, we have to keep fighting.
Yeah, I think that's ultimately what it's gonna take. And well, recently you saw it in high school alone here in Las Vegas. Cheyenne High School is about to start their first women quarterback, and I was excited.
Believe it when I saw that. I was like, no freaking way. That is amazing.
And just reading what the coach said about her was like, you know, game respects game, and this coach respected her game and said she could lead our team. Unfortunately, the game got canceled because of COVID. Right. I think they only had like 20 players, but made me a little happy because I played football for Cheyenne, so it just shows that you guys aren't going unnoticed. That these girls are seeing it. And like I said, being a girl dad, it's something special that my daughter, not only does she get to watch college football and NFL and see these guys do it, but she gets to see women play and play just in as good, person. If not better, in person. Yeah. And like, she was so excited, like as much as a 2-year-old can be excited at a football game, but she even tried to run onto the field a couple times. Then that probably would not have ended pretty, but
no, it wouldn't have. But we would try and protect her as much as we could.
So it's just as hard as it is right now. There's a bright future, and it's getting brighter and present as well. So
yes,
and I thank all of you guys, like all the Las Vegas Silver Stars, for even giving me a chance, because I'm a nobody in the big scheme of things. I'm just trying to get my foot in the door as well, and I appreciate you guys being willing to take the chance on me. And
oh yeah, that's not even a thought, because I mean we're the same. We're not necessarily at, you know, the bottom of the barrel, but you know, we're not getting paid for what we do. We do it because we love it, and so we recognize, you know, you love sports and you support us, so why wouldn't we support you? Like, that's how it works. Like, yeah. you become part of our tribe, and you're becoming, you know, a part of our legacy as we grow, versus, you know, when we finally are on top and then people, you know, want to say, you know, all of a sudden want to be on the bandwagon. No, like you were there when we were still grinding, you know, and we help each other. That's what good people do. And we know you're good people. So it's, you know, no brainer.
I appreciate it. I can hear your kids in the background, yeah. So I don't want to keep you very much longer. But before we go, is there anyone you'd like to shout out before we end this podcast?
I want to shout out my line, my O-line, my D-line. I believe in you guys so much, and I am proud of what we've done, and I'm proud of what we're going to continue to do. And, yeah, that's it. I'm queen of the trenches, so our lines are codependent AF. So,
yeah. Thank you again, Barbie. I appreciate your time. And for all of you guys who want to follow her on Instagram, look her up. What's your Instagram handle?
Barbie the Barbarian _99.
Perfect. So go support her and go support the Las Vegas Silver Stars, especially aren't being paid. We're going to get you to that next level so absolutely. You guys can start getting paid. But again, yeah. I appreciate it, and I hope you have a good night.
All right. You too. Say hi to the family.
All right. Will do.
All righty. Thank you. Bye.